An Absolute Massacre by ZZ Packer. The bodies all around began to cook and swell in the heat, fingers the size of pickles, forearms rising like loaves until as big and gamey as hams, festering in the noontime sun. When the Secesh police began their rounds, Lazarus got to crouching, then creeping, until, at last, he had to lie down among the dead, coffining himself between two fallen neighbors, readying himself for the shot to the head. Just hours earlier, all of colored New Orleans in their finest had come out. Veterans from the Louisiana Native Guard had amassed at the procession's front, joined by one or more bands that began to blaze and bray their trumpets and trombones once struck up by some hidden concertmaster. Seamstresses, maids, cooks, bricklayers, and longshoremen, they'd all come out at the behest of Routinet, owner of the Black Folks paper, as well as Dosti, the radical Republican dentist, Democrats declared a race traitor and nigger lover. The white Republicans could not get votes over the Confederate Democrats without colored men, nor could the colored men get the vote without the whites who fought against the Confederate Redeemer cause. 34 niggers dead, Lazarus heard someone say while he played possum. And that fella Dosti. Such a pus and rot he'd never smelled before. Needling choruses of gallinippers hiving above yards of bursting flesh, rodents hurrying forth with their ratchets scratching at wounds, midges inspecting tonsils on display. Then there was a nearly silent sound of worms at work, underworld missionaries unsewing men from their souls. It wasn't until 3 o'clock that the military finally came and gave orders as to what should be done. The wounded were to go to the Freedmen's Hospital, which had once been Marine Hospital. The dead were to lie out in the 100-degree heat until another wagon became available. And there was to be martial law for the rest of the night, lasting who knew until when. The ride to the Freedmen's Hospital killed a few who weren't yet dead. A jolting ride over cobblestones, banquettes, undone roads, bricks from the riot left in the middle of the street, while the whole hospital was filled with big moans, the smell of grease and camphor, wet wool and kerosene. They rolled him onto a flat cot, then put yet another man on top of him and jostled them both through a dark corridor. The blood from the man on top of him seeped into Lazarus's eyes, ran in thin, tickling trickles into his ears, clumped in thick, waxy clots in his nose, his hair. It scared him to death to be so in the dark, and try as he might to push the dead man off him, he could not. They carried him into a room, a place that was even more foul-smelling than the stench of bodies swelling in the sun. When his cot passed the threshold, the men who had been carrying it dropped it, sending the dead man falling to the floor, only the sound didn't sound like Lazarus expected it to, but more like a clink and a clatter, as though the heavy doors of an armoire or chiffon robe had been banged shut. The men who'd been holding the cot retched, one, then the other.